Chapter 27. The Shadow in the Night.
I do not understand it, Loyal said. I was winning most of the time, and then Dina came in and joined the game, and she won it all right back. Every toss. She called it a little lesson. What did she mean by that?
Rand and the Ogier were making their way through the foregate, the bunch of grapes behind them. The sun sat low in the west, a red ball half below the horizon, throwing long shadows behind them. The street was empty, save for one of the big puppets, a goat-horned trollic, with a sword at its belt, coming toward them with five men working the poles. But sounds of merriment drifted still from other parts of the foregate, where the halls of entertainment and the taverns stood. Here, doors were already barred and windows shuttered. Rand stopped fingering the wooden flute case and slung it on his back. I suppose I couldn't expect him to throw over everything and come with me, but at least he could talk to me. Light, I wish Ingtar would show up. He stuffed his hands in his pockets and felt Celine's note.
You don't suppose she...
Loyal paused uncomfortably.
You don't suppose she cheated, do you? Everybody was grinning as if she were doing something clever.
Rand shrugged at his cloak. I have to take the horn and go. If we wait for Ingtar, anything can happen. Fain will come sooner or later. I have to stay ahead of him. The men with the puppet were almost to them.
Rand, Loyal said suddenly. I don't think that's a...
Abruptly, the men let their poles clatter to the packed dirt street. Instead of collapsing, the trollic leaped for Rand with outstretched hands. There was no time to think. Instinct brought the sword out of its sheath in a flashing arc. The moon rises over the lakes. The trollic staggered back with a bubbling cry, snarling even as it fell. For an instant, everyone stood frozen. Then the men, the dark friends, they had to be, looked from the trollic lying in the street to Rand with the sword in his hands and Loyal at his side. They turned and ran. Rand was staring at the trollic, too. The void had surrounded him before his hand touched hilt. Sidine shone in his mind, beckoning, sickening. With an effort, he made the void vanish and licked his lips. Without the emptiness, fear crawled on his skin. Loyal, we have to get back to the inn. Huron's alone and they... He grunted as he was lifted into the air by a thick arm, long enough to pin both of his to his chest. A hairy hand grabbed his throat. He caught sight of a tusked snout just over his head. A rank smell filled his nose, equal parts sour sweat and pigsty. As quickly as it had seized him, the hand at his throat was torn away. Stunned, Rand stared at it, at the thick Ogier fingers clutching the trollic's wrist.
Hold on, Rand.
Loyal's voice sounded strained. The Ogier's other hand came around and took hold of the arm still holding Rand above the ground.
Hold on.
Rand was shaken from side to side as Ogier and Trolloc struggled. Abruptly, he fell free. Staggering, he took two steps to get clear and turned back with sword raised. Standing behind the boar-snouted Trolloc, Loyal had it by wrist and forearm, holding its arms spread wide, breathing hard with the effort. The trollic snarled gutturally in the harsh trollic tongue, throwing its head back in efforts to catch Loyal with the tusk. Their boots scuffled across the dirt of the street. Rand tried to find a place to put his blade in the trollic without hurting Loyal, but Ogier and trollic spun in their rough dance so much that he could find no opening. With a grunt, the trollic pulled its left arm free, but before it could loose itself completely, Loyal snapped his own arm around its neck, hugging the creature close. The trollic clawed at its sword. The scythe-like blade hung on the wrong side for left-handed use, but inch by inch the dark steel began sliding out of the scabbard. And still they thrashed about so that Rand could not strike without risking Loyal. The power. That could do it. How, he did not know, but he knew nothing else to try. The trollic had its sword half unsheathed. When the curved blade was bare, it would kill Loyal. Reluctantly, Rand formed the void. Sidine shone at him, pulled at him. Dimly, he seemed to recall a time when it had sung to him, but now it only drew him. A flower's perfume drawing a bee, a midden's stench drawing a fly. He opened himself up, reached for it. There was nothing there. He could as well have been reaching for light and truth. The taint slid off onto him, soiling him, but there was no flow of light inside him. Driven by a distant desperation, he tried again and again. And again and again there was only the taint. With a sudden heave, Loyal threw the trolloc aside, so hard that the thing cartwheeled against the side of a building. It struck head first with a loud crack and slid down the wall to lie with its neck twisted at an impossible angle. Loyal stood staring at it, his chest heaving. Rand looked out of the emptiness for a moment before he realized what had happened. As soon as he did, though, he let void and tainted light go and hurried to Loyal's side.
I never killed before, Rand.
Loyal drew a shuddering breath. It would have killed you if you hadn't, Rand told him. Anxiously, he looked at the alleys and shuttered windows and barred doors. Where there were two trollocs, there had to be more. I'm sorry you had to do it, Loyal, but it would have killed both of us, or worse.
I know, but I cannot like it, even a trolloc.
Pointing toward the setting sun, the Ogier seized Rand's arm.
There's another of them.
Against the sun, Rand could not make out details, but it appeared to be another group of men with a huge puppet coming toward Loyal and him. Except that now he knew what to look for. The puppet moved its legs too naturally, and the snouted head rose to sniff the air without anyone lifting a pole. He did not think the Trolloc and Dark Friends could see him among the evening shadows or what lay in the street around him. They moved too slowly for that. Yet it was plain they were hunting and coming closer. Thane knows I am out here somewhere, he said, hastily wiping his blade on a dead Trolloc's coat. He set them to find me. He is afraid of the Trolloc's being seen, though, or he wouldn't have them disguised. If we can reach a street where there are people, we'll be safe. We have to get back to Huron. If Thane finds him, alone with the horn... He pulled Loyal along to the next corner and turned toward the nearest sounds of laughter and music. But long before they reached it, another group of men appeared ahead of them in the otherwise empty street with a puppet that was no puppet. Rand and Loyal took the next turning. It led east. Every time Rand tried to reach the music and laughter, there was a trolloc in the way, often sniffing the air for a scent. Some trollocs hunted by scent. Sometimes, here where there were no eyes to see, a trolloc stalked alone. More than once he was sure it was one he had seen before. They were closing in and making sure he and Loyal did not leave the deserted streets with their shuttered windows. Slowly the two of them were forced east, away from the city and Huron, away from other people, along narrow, slowly darkening streets that ran in all directions, uphill and down. Rand eyed the houses they passed, the tall buildings closed up tight for the night, with more than a little regret. Even if he pounded on a door until someone opened it, even if they took Loyal and him in, none of the doors he saw would stop a trolloc. All that would do would be to offer up more victims with Loyal and himself.
Rand,
Loyal said finally,
there is nowhere else to go.
They had reached the eastern edge of the foregate. The tall buildings to either side of them were the last. Lights and windows on the upper stories mocked him, but the lower floors were all shut tight. Ahead lay the hills, cloaked in first twilight and bare of so much as a farmhouse. Not entirely empty, though. He could just make out pale walls surrounding one of the larger hills, perhaps a mile away, and buildings inside.
Once they push us out there, Loyal said, they won't have to worry who sees them.
Rand gestured to the walls around the hill. Those should stop a trolloc. It must be a lord's manor. Maybe they'll let us in. An Ogier and an outland lord? This coat has to be good for something sooner or later. He looked back down the street. No trollocs in sight yet, but he drew Loyal around the side of the building anyway.
I think that is the Illuminator's chapter house, Rand. Illuminators guard their secrets tightly. I don't think they would let Galdrian himself inside there.
What trouble have you gotten yourself into now?
Said a familiar woman's voice. There was suddenly a spicy perfume in the air. Rand stared. Celine stepped around the corner they had just rounded, her white dress bright in the dimness.
How did you get here? What are you doing here? You have to leave immediately. Run!
There are Trollocs after us.
So I saw.
Her voice was dry, yet cool and composed.
I came to find you, and I find you allowing Trollocs to herd you like sheep. Can the man who possesses the Horn of Valir let himself be treated so?
I don't have it with me, he snapped, and I don't know how it could help if I did. The dead heroes are not supposed to come back to save me from Trollocs. Selene, you have to get away, now!
He peered around the corner. Not more than 100 paces away, a Trolloc was sticking its horned head cautiously into the street, smelling the night. A large shadow by its side had to be another Trolloc, and there were smaller shadows, too. Dark friends.
Too late, Rand muttered.
He shifted the flute case to pull off his cloak and wrap it around her. It was long enough to hide her white dress entirely and trail on the ground besides.
You'll have to hold that up to run, he told her. Loyal, if they won't let us in, we'll have to find a way to sneak in.
But Rand...
Would you rather wait for the Trollocs?
He gave Loyal a push to start him and took Selene's hand to follow at a trot.
Find us a path that won't break our necks, Loyal.
You're letting yourself become flustered, Selene said.
She seemed to be having less trouble following Loyal in the failing light than Rand did.
Seek the oneness and be calm. One who would be great must always be calm.
The Trollocs might hear you, he told her. I don't want greatness.
He thought he heard an irritated grunt from her. Stones sometimes turned underfoot, but the way across the hills was not hard despite the twilight shadows. Trees and even brush had long since been cleared from the hills for firewood. Nothing grew except knee-high grass that rustled softly around their legs. A night breeze came up softly. Rand worried that it might carry their scent to the Trollocs. Loyal stopped when they reached the wall. It stood twice as high as the Ogier, the stones covered with a whitish plaster. Rand peered back toward the foregate. Bands of lighted windows reached out like spokes of a wheel from the city walls.
Loyal, he said softly. Can you see them? Are they following us?
The Ogier looked in the direction of the foregate and nodded unhappily.
I only see some of the Trollocs, but they are coming this way. Running. Rand, I really don't think...
Selene cut him off.
If he wants to go in, Alantin, he needs a door, such as that one.
She pointed to a dark patch a little down the wall. Even with her telling him, Rand was not certain it was a door, but when she strode to it and pulled, it opened. She pointed to a dark patch a little down the wall. Even with her telling him, Rand was not certain it was a door, but when she strode to it and pulled, it opened.
Rand,
Loyal began. Rand pushed him to the door.
Later, Loyal, and softly. We're hiding, remember?
He got them inside and closed the door behind them. There were brackets for a bar, but no bar to be seen. It would not stop anyone, but maybe the Trollocs would hesitate to come inside the walls. They were in an alleyway leading up the hill between two long, low, windowless buildings. At first he thought they were stone, too, but then he realized the white plaster had been laid over wood. It was dark enough now for the moon reflecting from the walls to give a semblance of light.
Better to be arrested by the illuminators than taken by Trollocs, he murmured, starting up the hill.
But that is what I was trying to tell you,
Loyal protested.
I've heard the illuminators kill intruders. They keep their secrets hard and fast, Rand.
Rand stopped dead and stared back at the door. The Trollocs were still out there. At the worst, humans had to be better to deal with than Trollocs. He might be able to talk the illuminators into letting them go. Trollocs did not listen before they killed.
I'm sorry I got you into this, Selene.
Danger adds a certain something, she said softly, and so far you handle it well. Shall we see what we find?
She brushed past him up the alleyway. Rand followed, the spicy smell of her filling his nostrils. Atop the hill, the alleyway opened onto a wide expanse of smoothly flattened clay, almost as pale as the plaster, and nearly surrounded by more white windowless buildings, with the shadows of narrow alleys between. But to Rand's right stood one building with windows, light falling onto the pale clay. He pulled back into the shadows of the alley as a man and a woman appeared, walking slowly across the open space. Their clothes were certainly not Kyrianen. The man wore breeches as baggy as his shirt sleeves, both in a soft yellow, with embroidery on the legs of his breeches and across the chest of his shirt. The woman's dress, worked elaborately across the breast, seemed pale green, and her hair was done in a multitude of short braids. "All is in readiness, you say?" the woman demanded. "You are certain, Tammuz. All." The man spread his hands.
"Always your check behind me, Aludra. All is in readiness. The display, it could be given this very moment. The gates and doors, they are all barred.
All of the..." Her voice faded as they moved on to the far end of the lighted building. Rand studied the open area, recognizing almost nothing. In the middle of it, several dozen upright tubes, each nearly as tall as he and a foot or more across, sat on large wooden bases. From each tube, a dark, twisted cord ran across the ground and behind a low wall, perhaps 3 paces long, on the far side. All around the open space stood a welter of wooden racks with troughs and tubes and forked sticks and a score of other things. All the fireworks he had ever seen could be held in one hand, and that was as much as he knew, except that they burst with a great roar or whizzed along the ground in spirals of sparks, or sometimes shot into the air. They always came with warnings from the illuminators that opening one could cause it to go off. In any case, fireworks were too expensive for the village council to have allowed anybody unskilled to open one. He could well remember the time when Matt had tried to do just that. It was nearly a week before anyone but Matt's own mother would speak to him. The only thing that Rand found familiar at all was the cords, the fuses. That, he knew, was where you set the fire. With a glance back at the unbarred door, he motioned the others to follow and started around the tubes. If they were going to find a place to hide, he wanted to be as far from that door as he could. It meant making their way between the racks, and Rand held his breath every time he brushed against one. The things in them shifted with the slightest touch, rattling. All of them seemed to be made of wood, without a piece of metal. He could imagine the racket if one were knocked over. He eyed the tall tubes warily, remembering the bang made by one the size of his finger. If those were fireworks, he did not want to be this close to them. Loyal muttered to himself continually, especially when he bumped one of the racks, then started back so fast he bumped another. The Ogier crept along in a cloud of clatters and muttering. Selene was no less unnerving. She strode as casually as if they were on a city street. She did not bump anything, did not make a sound, but she also made no effort to keep the cloak closed. The white of her dress seemed brighter than all the walls together. He peered at the lighted windows, waiting for someone to appear. All it would take was one. Selene could not fail to be seen, the alarm given. The windows remained empty, though. Rand was just breathing a sigh of relief as they approached the low wall, and the alleys and buildings behind it, when Loyal brushed against another rack, standing right beside the wall. It held 10 soft-looking sticks, as long as Rand's arm, with thin streams of smoke rising from their tips. The rack made hardly a sound when it fell, the smoldering sticks sprawling across one of the fuses. With a crackling hiss, the fuse burst into flame, and the flame raced toward one of the tall tubes. Rand goggled for an instant, then he tried to whisper a shout. "Behind the wall!" Selene made an angry noise when he bore her to the ground behind the wall, but he did not care. He tried to spread himself over her protectively as Loyal crowded beside them. Waiting for the tube to burst, he wondered if there would be anything left of the wall. There was a hollow thump that he felt through the ground as much as heard. Cautiously, he lifted himself off of Selene enough to peer around the edge of the wall. She fisted him in the ribs hard and wriggled out from under him with an oath in a language he did not recognize, but he was beyond noticing. A trickle of smoke was leaking from the top of one of the tubes. That was all. He shook his head wonderingly. If that's all there is to it. With a crash like thunder, a huge flower of red and white bloomed high in the now dark sky, then slowly began drifting away in sparkles. As he goggled at it, the lighted building erupted with noise. Shouting men and women filled the windows, staring and pointing. Rand longingly eyed the dark alleyway, only a dozen steps away, and the first step would be in full view of the people at the windows. Pounding feet poured from the building. He pressed Loyal and Celine back against the wall, hoping they looked like just another shadow.
"Be still and be silent," he whispered. "It's our only hope."
"Sometimes," Celine said quietly, "if you are very still, no one can see you at all."
She did not sound the least bit worried. Boots thumped back and forth on the other side of the wall, and voices were raised in anger, especially the one Rand recognized as Aludra.
"You great buffoon, Tammuz! You great pig, you! Your mother, she was a goat, Tammuz! One day you will kill us all!"
"I am not to blame for this, Aludra," the man protested. "I have been sure to put everything where it belonged, and the punks, they were..." "You will not speak to me, Tammuz. A great pig does not deserve to speak like a human."
Aludra's voice changed in answer to another man's question.
"There is no time to prepare another. Galdrian, he must be satisfied with the rest for tonight.
And one early."
"And you, Tammuz. You will set everything right, and tomorrow you will leave with the carts to buy the manure.
Does anything else go wrong this night? I will not trust you again, even with so much as the manure."
Footsteps faded back toward the building to the accompaniment of Aludra's muttering. Tammuz remained growling under his breath about the unfairness of it all. Rand stopped breathing as the man came over to right the toppled stand. Pressed back in the shadows against the wall, he could see Tammuz's back and shoulder. All the man had to do was turn his head, and he could not miss seeing Rand and the others. Still complaining to himself, Tammuz arranged the smoldering sticks in the stand, then stalked off toward the building where everyone else had gone. Letting his breath go, Rand took a quick look after the man, then pulled back into the shadows. A few people still stood at the windows.
"We can't expect any more luck tonight," he whispered.
"It is said great men make their own luck," Celine said softly.
"Will you stop that?" he told her wearily.
He wished the smell of her did not fill his head so. It made it hard to think clearly. He could remember the feel of her body when he pushed her down. Softness and firmness in a disturbing blend. And that did not help either.
"Rand?"
Loyal was peering around the end of the wall, away from the lighted building.
"I think we need some more luck, Rand."
Rand shifted to look over the Ogier's shoulder. Beyond open space, in the alleyway that led to the barless door, three Trollocs were peering cautiously out of the shadows toward the lighted windows. One woman was standing at a window. She did not seem to see the Trollocs.
"So," Celine said quietly, "it becomes a trap. These people may kill you if they take you. The Trollocs surely will. But perhaps you can slay the Trollocs too quickly for them to make any outcry. Perhaps you can stop the people from killing you to preserve their little secrets. You may not want greatness, but it will take a great man to do these things."
"You don't have to sound happy about it," Rand said.
He tried to stop thinking about how she smelled, how she felt, and the void almost surrounded him. He shook it away. The Trollocs did not seem to have located them yet. He settled back, staring at the nearest dark alleyway. Once they made a move toward it, the Trollocs would surely see, and so would the woman at the window. It would be a race as to whether Trollocs or Illuminators reached them first.
"Your greatness will make me happy."
Despite the words, Celine sounded angry.
"Perhaps I should leave you to find your own way for a time. If you'll not take greatness when it is in your grasp, perhaps you deserve to die."
Rand refused to look at her.
"Loyal, can you see if there's another door down that alley?"
The Ogier shook his head.
"There is too much light here and too much dark there. If I were in the alley, yes."
Rand fingered the hilt of his sword.
"Take Celine. As soon as you see a door, if you do, call out, and I'll follow.
If there isn't a door at the end, you will have to lift her so she can reach the top of the wall and climb over."
"All right, Rand."
Loyal sounded worried.
"But when we move, those Trollocs will come after us no matter who is watching. Even if there is a door, they will be on our heels.
You let me worry about the Trollocs. Three of them. I might do it with the Void.
The thought of Sidene decided him. Too many strange things had happened when he let the male half of the true source come close.
I will follow as soon as I can. Go!
He turned to peer around the wall at the Trollocs. From the corner of his eye, he had an impression of Loyal's bulk moving, of Celine's white dress half covered by his cloak. One of the Trollocs beyond the tubes pointed to them excitedly. But still the three hesitated, glancing up at the window where the woman still watched.
Three of them. There has to be a way. Not the Void. Not Sidene.
There is a door,
came Loyal's soft call. One of the Trollocs took a step out of the shadows, and the others followed, gathering themselves. As from a distance, Rand heard the woman at the window cry out, and Loyal shouted something. Without thinking, Rand was on his feet. He had to stop the Trolloc somehow, or they would run him down, and Loyal and Celine. He snatched one of the smoldering sticks and hurled himself at the nearest tube. It tilted, starting to fall over, and he caught the square wooden base. The tube pointed straight at the Trollocs. They slowed uncertainly. The woman at the window screamed, and Rand touched the smoking end of the stick to the fuse, right where it joined the tube. The hollow thump came immediately, and the thick wooden base slammed against him, knocking him down. A roar like a thunderclap broke the night, and a blinding burst of light tore away the dark. Blinking, Rand staggered to his feet, coughing in thick, acrid smoke, ears ringing. He stared in amazement. Half the tubes and all of the racks lay on their sides, and one corner of the building beside which the Trollocs had stood was simply gone, flames licking at the ends of planks and rafters. Of the Trollocs, there was no sign. Through the ringing in his ears, Rand heard shouts from the illuminators in the building. He broke into a tottering run, lumbered into the alley. Halfway down it, he stumbled over something and realized it was his cloak. He snatched it up without pausing. Behind him, the cries of the illuminators filled the night. Loyal was bouncing impatiently on his feet beside the open door. And he was alone. Where is Celine? Rand demanded.
She went back, Rand. I tried to grab her, and she slipped right out of my hands.
Rand turned back toward the noise. Through the incessant sound in his ears, some of the shouts were barely distinguishable. There was light there now, from the flames.
The sand buckets! Fetch the sand buckets quickly!
This is disaster! Disaster!
Some of them went that way!
Loyal grabbed Rand's shoulder.
You cannot help her, Rand. Not by being taken yourself. We must go.
Someone appeared at the end of the alley, a shadow outlined by the glow of flames behind, and pointed toward them.
Come on, Rand.
Rand let himself be pulled out of the door into the darkness. The fire faded behind them until it was only a glow in the night, and the lights of the foregate came closer. Rand almost wished more Trollocs would appear, something he could fight. But there was only the night breeze ruffling the grass.
I tried to stop her,
Loyal said. There was a long silence.
We really couldn't have done anything. They would just have taken us, too.
Rand sighed.
I know, Loyal. You did what you could.
He walked backwards a few steps, staring at the glow. It seemed less. The illuminators must be putting out the flames.
I have to help her somehow. How? Sidene? The power?
He shivered.
I have to.
They went through the foregate by the lighted streets, wrapped in a silence that shut out the gaiety around them. When they entered the Defender of the Dragon Wall, the innkeeper held out his tray with a sealed parchment. Rand took it and stared at the white seal, a crescent moon and stars.
Who left this? When?
An old woman, my lord. Not a quarter of an hour gone. A servant, though she did not say from what house.
Quayle smiled, as if inviting confidences.
Thank you,
Rand said, still staring at the seal. The innkeeper watched them go upstairs with a thoughtful look. Huron took his pipe out of his mouth when Rand and Loyal entered the room. Huron had his short sword and sword breaker on the table, wiping them with an oily rag.
You are along with the Gleeman, my lord. Is he well?
Rand gave a start. What? Tom. Yes, he's... He broke open the seal with his thumb and read.
When I think I know what you are going to do, you do something else. You are a dangerous man. Perhaps it will not be long before we are together again. Think of the horn. Think of the glory. And think of me, for you are always mine.
Again it bore no signature but the flowing hand itself. Are all women crazy? Rand demanded of the ceiling. Huron shrugged. Rand threw himself into the other chair, the one sized for an ogier. His feet dangled above the floor, but he did not care. He stared at the blanket-covered chest under the edge of Loyal's bed. Think of the glory. I wish Ingtar would come.